Precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'd open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, we'll take our text from chapter 3, verse 19, and from Acts 4, 31. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And Acts 4, 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we humbly, reverently approach thy word this morning, believing, Father, that you, the great author and finisher of our faith, you are also the great judge of all the earth. And we know that your presence is here. You've descended with a shout according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18. We believe, Father, that you have revealed yourself as the Son of Man in this generation. And Lord, we submit ourselves to thy word. And Father, we ask that you would help us to understand thy word better and help us to understand not only, Lord, your judgments, but also your blessings and your benefits, the benefits that we receive from believing in thee. Help us, Father, as we open thy word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I realized last night was a pretty strong message. But those were Brother Branham's words and the Bible. And I usually don't read so many paragraphs at once from Brother Branham's sermons. Usually we focus on just one thought, possibly one thought in a paragraph. We might end up with four or five sermons in a paragraph. But last night we actually had, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 different paragraphs with just one thought. Brother Branham just hung to that thought and hammered it and hammered it and hammered it. And it was pretty straightforward. So I could not find anywhere to break off until we completed that thought. Now, we're all aware that as it was in the days of Noah when only 8 souls were saved, they say, science says around 6 billion people inhabited the earth at that time. We have almost the same, well, actually we have a little bit more today. And that ought to tell us that Brother Branham, what Brother Branham said when he said there's no excuses when we know to do right and we don't do it. The Bible also tells us in 1 Peter 3 and 20, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Now this morning we're going to look on the other side of the picture. We're going to look at the positive side of the scripture because there are always twins. There's righteousness and there's unrighteousness. There's God's seed and there's non-God's seed. And we'll pick up at paragraph 75 of Brother Ram's sermon, what the Holy Ghost was given for, and begin reading there. Now he says, each person setting here is filled with something. And again, remember there's twins. There's good things or there's bad things depending on what you're filled with. He says, then I'm going to close. I may have to after that blistering that he gave us. And he says, you're filled with something. You can't sit there without being full of something. Now let me just give you some examples from the Bible of things you might be filled with. Colossians 1:9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Philippians 1:11, he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And the word righteousness, according to Scofield, is actually taken from the Old English right wiseness. So being filled with the fruits of right wiseness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 7 and 4, great is that my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort, and I am exceedingly joy in our tribulation. Romans 15, 14, and I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are also filled, or that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. James 3 and 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And Acts 6 and 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now remember, Stephen was just a deacon. Luke 4 and 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Matthew 6, 22. And the light, in fact, there's many, many scriptures that talk about people being filled with the Spirit. Matthew 6, 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, I'd like to continue because Brother Bram continues, says, you've got a life in you, that life governs you, and the life is governed by a spirit. Now, you might be full of the world, loving the world or the things of the world. God be merciful to you. You might be full of creeds from some church, some little prayers that you say. You think that it's going to pray to some dead person or make some kind of a sign across you. God be merciful to you. And you may be full of religion, and that's the worst yet. That's right. That's right. The Bible said in the last days they'd be very religious, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. If you're full of religion, you're miserable. Just religion, that's all. If you're full of creeds, you don't know what you're talking about. If you're full of the world, you're blind. If you're full of creeds, you don't know what you're talking about. What's a creed? It's doctrine. It's a belief. A belief system. If you're full of just a belief system, you don't know what you're talking about. You know why? Because you just focus on that. Now, Luke 11:34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. So here's your twins again. Either full of light or full of darkness. And he says, if your eye be single. He's talking about not if you have one eye like a cyclops. He's talking about if your eye is single focused on Christ, then your body is full of light. All right? Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. How many people hold to a creed, and they would kill for that creed, for that doctrine? They would kill for it. He says, take heed that what light you think you got is in darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Now, Jesus, being the way, being the truth, being the light, gives us also the other side of the twins issue. He now speaks to those who are not filled with light, but they are filled with darkness. In verse 37, he says, and as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. James 3 and 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Now, Brother Branham spoke of gossip, and he said, gossip is the poison acid of malice. It's a poison acid of malice. And yet, gossip is something that still permeates probably, well, I would say, I'd have to say most every church. And it's wrong. It's wrong. Acts 13 and 10. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And Matthew 23 and 28. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And we got into that a little bit last night, showing the wolves in sheep's clothing. And Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, in other words, single focus, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? How many people profess to believe the message? I'm not talking about just being Christian. We got about 1.5 billion Christians in this world. About 1.5, we got a lot of other religions too. I think it's 900 million Taoists. So there's a lot that are out there. We got, and of the 1.5 billion Christians, we got 1.5 billion Muslims and just very few Jews. But you know, the oneness mentality is a deadly mentality. Brother Brown said they got a very hard spirit. And we've got, and of course the Trinitarian is not much better because they went forth with their persecutions. So in the name of religion, almost every war has been started. Almost every war. In the name of religion. And he says, if therefore thy light in thee is darkness, how great is thy darkness? Now, we've seen both sides of the issue this morning. You're either being filled with light or darkness. Now let's look at how we are filled with light. And I wish to speak this morning on the positive side and show you the blessings and benefits of those who are filled with light, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. From paragraph 75, we continue, and he says, and then again, you may be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I hope you are. And if you're not, I hope you get full. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost, what have you got? You've got power, you've got love, and you've got peace. How many people claiming to believe, there's 2 million people in this world, claim to believe a vindicated prophet. How many of them have love and peace? How many of them have power? We see the powerless churches today, and yet Brother Branham said, it's got to be among the believers. My peace I'll give unto you, not as the world giveth you. You got peace, and you're sealed. You got a sign. Amen. You got rest. You got joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're anchored. Oh my. That's what you are with the Holy Ghost. You have, and if you got full of the Holy Ghost, you have passed from death unto life, waiting for the general resurrection in the last day. You got peace. Peace unspeakable. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many people again out of the 2 million have full joy? Unspeakable. I'll tell you, if you don't, there's one reason for it. You're living for self. Eternal life is living for others. Okay, so we've read from God's prophet in the scriptures many things that you can be full of. We have, you know, we also have an old expression, when we don't believe what someone is telling us, we say that you're full of it. And that means you can be full of a lot of things, and those aren't pleasant things at all. But Brother Branham is telling us here that if you are full of the Holy Ghost, then you are full of love, because God is love. And Brother Branham says, if you are full of the Holy Ghost, you are full of power. Show it to me. Come on. Brother Vail preached a message in 1963 at the Tabernacle. And he showed the reason why Mark 16 was not happening in the churches like it should. The power was gone because the people were self-centered. Focused on self, focused on camp, their camp, and not focused on Christ, and not focused on helping others. Brother Ram says, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're full of power, because God's Spirit is supernatural. And if you have His supernatural Spirit living in you, then your life will manifest supernatural power. It has to. Alpha has got to repeat in Omega. And he says, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will have full of peace. Now, Brother Ram taught us, in order to be a believer, you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We have 2 million believers claiming to be believers in this message. I went over to Congo, and I found out that they don't believe. There was 500,000 just in that country alone. And they had all kinds of doctrines because they had no understanding of what the prophet brought. No understanding of the appearing before the coming. No understanding of that there's one God. He had a son. And so they try to jobble everything together. And therefore there was no power. There is no power. I see amongst the message in general, I'm not talking about everybody, I'm just talking about in general, you see powerless churches. Why? In Christianity today, you see powerless gospel. You see a powerless people. You see a powerless church. Why? I'll tell you why. They haven't received the Holy Ghost. They think they have. They might have received a gift of the Holy Ghost. But if I just stand here at the door and I give every kid a gift as he goes out, they're still not my children. You understand? He gaveth his gifts to the rebellious also. Now, Brother Brown said in his sermon, who is this? He said, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. He's quoting Scripture. You say, I believe it because the Word says so. Well, that's true, but the Word says that no man can say Jesus is Christ until you have received the Holy Ghost. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, my mother said so. Good for your mother. But what about you? Well, my pastor says so. Well, it's good for your pastor, but what about you? Well, the Bible says so. It's good for the Bible, but what about you? Can you truly say Jesus is the Christ until that Christ is revealed? Not to you, in you. Paul says we must grow up into Christ. He didn't say grow up unto Christ, as though Christ is here and you're here. He said we must grow up into him. For he is the head, and we're the body. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And Christ is the head of that body. And from his sermon, Why Christ Speak, Brother Bram said, Jesus said, the works that I do, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, he that believeth on me. No man can believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God until he's received the Holy Ghost. You're only talking or taking it by faith and accepting it. You can't say that it is. You can say, I believe it. I believe it is, but no man can call Jesus the Christ until the Holy Ghost is in him. The Bible says so. The Holy Spirit has to come in first, then it gives a witness. You know yourself that Jesus is the Christ because he lives in you. Amen. Therefore, in the scriptural phrase, he that believeth on me, those five words, there are actually 19 times in the New Testament where those scriptural phrase, he that believeth on me, is spoken of. Therefore, in each of these verses concerning the believer, which are those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, God has given certain promises to his church, and he is not a man that he could lie concerning the promises he's made to us. Now, if you recall, years ago, I also preached an entire series on the benefits of the Son of God, and we showed you by Scripture there are 37 different benefits to those who believe in the Son of God. Now, that does not mean that there are only 37 benefits we receive from believing Jesus is the Son of God, but those are the 37, actually 39 that I brought out. Now, this morning, we're going to pick up where Brother Branham was speaking of the blessings and benefits to those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, and we know that it is them only who are believers. Then I would like to give you 59 of the blessings and benefits that we receive as believers, or we can expect and should expect from God in relation to our believing on him as the only begotten Son, his Son, Jesus. Now, number one, the first benefit to us concerning our belief in the Son of God, which means that we actually believe the doctrine of Christ as Jesus, Paul, John, and William Branham taught it, is that to do so will destroy the works of the devil against you, which works is unbelief. And we found the very first promise of God concerning those who believe in his Son is to cancel out all unbelief from us. In our study of 1 John, let's just read 1 John verse 3, chapter 3, verse 8. He tells us, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, in this series that we did, I found 37 phrases in the Bible that use the phrase Son of God. And so I went to each one of those, and in doing each one, just looking at each one of those, it appeared to me, it became very apparent, that there is actually a blessing from God, actually a benefit given to the believer in the Son of God. In John 6:29, that the work of God is to believe, that the work of God is to believe on him whom God has sent, and thus the works of the devil are to get us to not believe the one that God has sent. So he says that the work of God, or for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we know the works of God are to believe, therefore the works of the devil are to not believe. So we see that to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy within us any ability to disbelieve God's word. And that is our very first benefit we have received from the revelation of the doctrine of Christ. The second benefit to us concerning our belief in the Son of God is that by actually believing the doctrine of Christ, we are brought into such relationship with God himself that he comes into us and we come into him and we are baptized with the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, let me just open my Bible for just a minute. If you open yours too, I don't have it in my notes. I actually took it out. I should have left it there. But if you turn with me to 2 John, and we're going to read verse 9. I actually left my Bible in my luggage, so I'm reading. This is a bilingual Bible, so it's a little bit harder to find what I want. Okay, now 2 John, we read in verse 3, "Grace and mercy and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Now, why would he call Jesus Christ the Son of the Father if, as the oneness, believe that Jesus is his own Father? And use the word "and" Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Look at verse 9 now. "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ," you see, I think your King James Version says anyone who goes, transgresses. And the word "transgress" means to go beyond the limits. So anyone who transgresses or goes beyond the limits, this version here says anyone who goes too far, that means goes beyond the limits and does not abide or remain in the doctrine of Christ, he does not have God. The one who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Now notice it says, if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, it says, hath not God. That word "hath" is a Greek word "echo." He that does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not echo God. We can take and show you that, but we just don't have time today. I've got complete sermons on that. Now, the second benefit then to us concerning our belief in the Son of God is that by actually believing the doctrine of Christ, we are brought into such relationship with God himself that he comes into us and we come into him and we are baptized with the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 4, verse 15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." Galatians 3:27, "For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Put on Christ. The third benefit to us in believing the relationship between Father and Son, and thus sons, is the promise of life. We are promised eternal life by believing in the Son of God. In 1 John 5, verse 12, "He that hath the Son," he that echoes the Son, echoes life. "And he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life." Look it up. That word "hath" is translated from the Greek word "echo." It means the same in the English, echo. John 20, verse 31. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John 5:25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." The fourth benefit to us in believing the relationship between Father and Son is to know that we have life. He just told us in the last verse that we will have life, and that we will echo life. He says, "hath life." We will echo that life. But now there's an assurance that we have, that we echo. Notice the difference than to have life, for to know that we have life brings the benefit of rest. And if we know that we have life, our whole nature changes, and thus our relationship with God changes, and thus we enter into such a peace that no man could ever rob you of your confidence in your relationship to God, and thus God's word. In 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, the reason why the fivefold ministry in chapter 4 of Ephesians, it says that they are to build up the church and these things, but it says until we all come in the unity of the faith. Brother Ram taught us faith, it means revelation, something that's revealed to you. so that we all grow up into the unity of the faith, and there's only one Lord, therefore there's only one faith. That's what Paul says just a few verses earlier, in verse 8. In verse 11, he says that we might grow up into him in all things. Now, notice. So he says that we might come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, that we might grow up into him in all things. So, if you don't have the knowledge of the Son of God, if you put him as God the Son, there's no scripture for God the Son, but there is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. Now, once you have that understanding of Son, the Son of God, and as Paul says in Romans 8, verse 29, that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son in a vast family of brothers, then we recognize Jesus' relationship to the Father as the eldest Son in a vast family of brothers. Well, that also tells us something, that we're brothers too. And if we're brothers too, we can have and we shall have the same relationship with the Father as did our eldest brother Jesus. Now, we read back here, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. We read that we might have life through his name. Now we've read that we might know that we have eternal life and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, God wants us to have an assurance. That's why Paul goes on in Romans 8. And in verse, I think it's verse 15 or 19, somewhere in there. And Paul says that, he said, the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a son of God. It doesn't say you will bear witness with him. As I said before, the Catholic Church, everybody in the world says, you know, kumbaya. You know, we're one in the family, one in the Lord. You know, we're just, you know, we're one in the Spirit. We're part of the great family. God is our Father. The Muslims say God is our Father. The Jews say God is our Father. The Catholics say God is our Father. Are they really? Are they really? Jesus said to those Jews, those Pharisees, which were the best of the Jews as far as the keeping of the law, he said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He's a murderer from the beginning, he abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. Now we have the parable, Jesus says, the Son of Man went forth sowing seed, and the devil came behind him sowing his seed. And both grew up, and both were children, one of the kingdom, and one children of the devil. So how do we know that we have eternal life? That's one of the benefits of the Son of God. Now, we'll get into that later. The fifth benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in His Son is that we are brought into His presence and we are aware of His presence because His presence is opened up to us in a way that is not opened up to others. In 1 John 4 and 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God will dwell in him and he in God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not you even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his parousia? At his presence? The sixth benefit or promise of God. Now, if you want to know more on each one of these, I've got a complete sermon on each one of these in the benefits series. And we get into a lot more depth, but I'm just kind of giving you a trace over this morning. The sixth benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are given the power to overcome the world. 1 John 5 and 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The seventh benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are given a special witness within ourselves of this relationship. 1 John 5 and 10 says, he that believeth in the Son of God hath the witness in him, in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. What was the record? Behold, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Amen. The eighth benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are given an understanding or an ability to understand. In 1 John 5 and 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given unto us an understanding that we might know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Christ Jesus. This is the true God and the eternal life. Now notice, he has come to give us an understanding. Why is that? Because Paul said that what man can understand the things of man except the Spirit of man be in him, and he said, and no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. So you've got to have the Holy Ghost to understand this word. The reason why we have so much misunderstanding is because the people don't have the Holy Ghost. I'd say 95% of the people who think they got the Holy Ghost don't have it. Why? Why can you say that? By their fruits you shall know them. Amen? That's why it's so important. Get on your knees and don't get up until you're sure from God. Now Luke 22 and 70. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. Now the ninth benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are given a positive confession. 2 Corinthians 1:19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. In other words, our confession will be what God says. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Not God said it, but you know, I want to differ with the vindicated prophet because I think it should be this. When Brother Branham said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He said he is anybody, everybody, anyone, every believer. And a few other things. He didn't say it was just one person. The tenth benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that you are given power to lay down your life as the Son of God laid down his life. And thus you begin this, through being baptized into his name and thus ending your old life and beginning a new one created in Christ Jesus. And that's the problem. In the world, if you were to take a person, like they say, they come in here and they say, well, I'm going to take Derek and we're just going to go out and bury him. So they take him out and they bury him. That would be against the law. And yet all the churches are burying people in Jesus' name that have not died yet. You've got to die to self in order to be filled with the Spirit of God. Paul said, he that lives for self cannot please God. Why? Because you're living for self. But he that's filled with the Spirit liveth for the Spirit. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The 11th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that God will give you boldness to speak this revelation everywhere and to everyone. Hebrews 4:4, seeing that then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Acts 9:20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Number 12, the 12th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that it brings protection to us from the wrath of man. In Daniel 3:25, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God, the Son of God, in there protecting him. With Daniel in the lion's den, the Son of God in there protecting him. Now, the 13th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that it brings us into the unity of the faith. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Now, that's actually, should be, I think, not Ephesians 4:13. Yeah, it is Ephesians. Okay. Number 14, the 14th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that it allows us to live by the same faith that Jesus lived by. And remember, the just shall live by faith. And we are justified by this faith and this faith alone. That is the true remission of sins. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. He's not saying I was 2,000 years ago crucified with Christ. He said, today, right now, I am. And Brother Brown said, if Paul had to be crucified every day, what about you and I? He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life that I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the revelation of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. So I ask you the question, who's living your life for you? Is Christ living your life for you? If he is, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. If you are living your life for yourself, you don't have the Holy Ghost or you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 5:21. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Number 15, the 15th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that it protects us from the wrath of God. We already showed where it protects us from the wrath of man. Now it protects us from the wrath of God. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And we went into a whole series on that. Now, number 16, the 16th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that it keeps us from falling away from the faith. The same faith that Jesus had. Hebrews 6:6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and they put him to an open shame. Now, how do you crucify the Son of God afresh? You're not killing the body of Jesus, but you are killing the body of Jesus. Understand what I mean? Because we are the body of Jesus. And to crucify the Son of God afresh is to take the life of Christ as an individual and say, nothing to it. Nothing to it. To turn down this word, nothing to it, they say. Number 17, the 17th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that it teaches us our future role as kings and priests. For without understanding the relationship between Father and Son, and that there is indeed a Son who is not the Father, we thus see the example laid down for us in our future roles and relationship with the Father and his creation. Hebrews 7:3 says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor ending of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now that was Melchizedek. He didn't say he was the Son of God, but made like unto the Son of God. The 18th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we indeed see what God sees, and we bear record to the record, his record. John 1:34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John saw what Jesus saw. Brother Ram said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you think like God. You see what God sees, you hear what God hears. The 19th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that John 1:49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The 20th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that it will keep you from blaspheming God. John 10:36. Say of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. Now, the word blaspheme comes from the Greek word bleptophema, and it means to speak against. People think that, I can say anything I want to about that person. Listen, if you're saying anything you want to about that person, and it's concerning the Holy Ghost, you're blaspheming. Now, the 21st benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are promised resurrection, which is redemption in full, because it has to do with these bodies that we are identified with. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So we have a promise of life. The 22nd promise, benefit, or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are promised healing through his name. John 11:4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. We can go into scripture. Actually, I had a whole book called, Brother Bosworth wrote. And it's called Christ the Healer. And Brother Bosworth took his text from John 14:12, 13, and 14. Well, John 14:12, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, and Brother Brown said, that's anybody, everyone, any man, any believer, and actually all translations, except for the King James translation, you have 8 translations in the English that says anywhere from anyone, everyone, whoever, and they. And you have all translations in the world, every language in the world, it's never translated he. It's translated whoever believes in me. And Brother Bosworth took his whole text for Christ the Healer. And if you don't have the book, let me know. I've got copies in the back. You can have one. Because it would help you to understand that God's promise of healing. And the 22nd benefit is that we get healing through his name. John 11:4. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And in John 14:12, as I was reading, said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, for I go to my Father. or as it says in all translations, whoever believes in me, the works that I do shall they do also. Even greater than this shall they do because I go to my Father. Then he says in verse 13, and whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Remember, Jesus in John 5:19 and 5:30, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. And now in John 14 and 12, he's saying, and the works that I do, you're going to do also. And whatever you ask, because you can't do the work without asking, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. The 23rd benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are no longer under the law and therefore no longer able to be punished by death. In John 19 and 7, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself to be the Son of God. Now, we can go into that, like I said, many, many more scriptures. We can show you that actually Jesus took our death for us. He became us and took our punishment that we might become him. Now, we always focus on he became us, but we don't focus on we might become him. And right before I left for Australia a few weeks ago, I showed you that the entire premise of this message is that we might become Christ, amen, the little Messiahs. All right? The 24th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we might not come into judgment. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The 25th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are given eyes to see. John 9:35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. In other words, they thought they saw, but they didn't. 26th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are given power to conceive the Word of God. Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. Do you realize that that's taking place with every believer? Not just with Mary? She conceived the egg and the sperm that God brought forth as the Son of God, but you received the same Son of God in you, the same God, Son of God Spirit. Same God, Son of God, life when you receive the Holy Ghost. And that should be bringing up inside of you a different life. And it should be forcing out, as it grows and grows and grows, it should be forcing out all the unbelief that's in you. Brother Vail brought it up this way. He said, we have a glass of water, it's filled with rocks. When you receive, when you fill that glass, is it full? You say, well, some people might say, yes, it's not full because it's full of rocks. As you displace each rock, you have more room for more water. And as you displace all the unbelief, each rock of unbelief in you, you have more room for his Spirit. Okay. Number 27, the 27th benefit or promise of God concerning us, concerning our believing in his Son, is that we will know our lineage runs back to God. In Luke 3:38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, at his appearing, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, you see him, you see yourself, wow. And you realize, hey, that's me I'm looking at in this word. You look in, Paul says when we, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians 3, I believe it is. He says, we look in the glass darkly, then we see face to face. Paul says we're changed from image to image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you look into the mirror of the word, what do you see? You see him. Now, the 28th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we receive power of the Holy of the spoken word that will only use it when the Father shows us to use it. Luke 4:3, the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made into bread. And Jesus, of course, used the word of God back. He said, it is written. man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He gave us an example of how to combat the devil. The 29th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are given power to cast out devils. In Luke 4 and 41, and the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Luke 8 and 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice, he said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, the Son of the Most High? I beseech thee to torment me not. In Mark 3 and 11, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, they fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. In Matthew 8, 29, and behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time? Notice the recognition. The devil, he just didn't see a man with a beard and long hair and sandals. Every man back then had a beard, long hair, and sandals. But he saw something in his character, something in his life. And he recognized that to be the Son of God, and he feared, and he trembled. The 13th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we're given power to overcome temptation to exalt self. But as an obedient son, we'll do only the will of the Father. Matthew 4 and 3, and when the tempter came to him, and he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made into bread. Again, Matthew 4 and 6, and he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. And Luke 4 and 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of a temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. And Jesus gave this the example every single time. But it's also written. It's also written. It's also written. The 31st benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that it is the very beginning of the good news that God has given us, and you can't get to first base without it. In Mark 1:1, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as Brother Brown said, without understanding the Godhead, the supreme deity, he said, you can't get to first base. Number 32, the 32nd benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that it allows you to be able to identify what is happening in the world and tie it back to the revelation of Christ and the Word of God. In Mark 15:39, when the centurion which stood over him, against him, he saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. Matthew 27:54, Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. In other words, they recognized in all these things happening around him, it was because he was the Son of God. The 33rd benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that we are able to worship him. Matthew 14:33, When they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The 34th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that you will be able to see him coming in the clouds of heaven. God's great picture of his Son flashed across the heavens. I believe we have it. Matthew 26:63, But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. The 35th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that you will be able to understand that God was in Christ and raised him up. Matthew 27:40, and saying, Thou that destroyest this temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. In Matthew 27:43, he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Now I can give you 18 scriptures. I don't have them up here, but I've got them written down. Where the Bible tells us God raised up Jesus from the dead. The 36th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that you will be given discernment to know right from wrong and those who are righteous from those who are wicked. That's Malachi 3:16-18, also Revelation 2:18. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire and his feet like undefined breath. And the 37th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in his Son is that you will be able to live a life of holiness, one that is sanctified through his name and through his atoning blood. Remember, when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's holy. Amen. Too many people think they got the Holy Ghost and they live unholy. Well, what's living is not holy. If it's not holy, it's not the Holy Ghost. See? Romans 1:4, and declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we were sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. In Jude 1:1, Jude the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, if you notice, there are 37 different scriptural statements or benefits to believing in the Son of God. And I'm just going to pass on that because we don't have time. But let's continue. Because there's actually more promises. 38. I'm taking these from he that believeth. The scripture that says, he that believeth on me. There's 19 times they're used. So I'm going to add those to the 37 we already have. 38. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. 39. John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, that word, whosoever believeth, is actually the same Greek words as he that believeth. Amen. Why is it translated whosoever in this verse and translated he that believeth in the other verse? It should have been left whosoever believeth in all the verses. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, again the same Greek words, in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In fact, and I should have probably left it on here, I didn't, because I didn't. But every one of these I put in the statements that we had in the He That Believeth paper we put out. The word that's translated as he or whosoever or whoever is a single Greek letter with a zero, and it has like a little diphthong over it. Little, like you call it, maybe a comma mark or a parenthetical mark. Anyway, it's a little mark squiggly over it. If you take that, cut, paste it into Google Translate, it comes up as sons. Sons that believeth. Now, how can you call them sons that believeth? Because they're born of God. Sons of God are born of the Spirit of God. Sons of God have the Holy Ghost. Therefore, only, as Brother Branham said, only those with the Holy Ghost can be believers. And so if people don't believe, it's because they're not believers, it's because they're not born again. Now, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth. So that means that, according to some, that only William Branham can be saved. Because it says he that believeth. Huh? Well, that's what they're saying, that he in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. They're saying that's just William Branham. Well, that means that this verse has to be William Branham too. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, he that believeth not, well, that's a he again. It must be one person. Good grief. Where does common sense come into reading the scripture? This promises to every believer. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, he that believeth. It's whosoever believeth. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Does that mean that only William Branham has everlasting life? It's the same Greek words. Why do you make it one thing for one scripture and not for all the scriptures that has the same thought, the same words? He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Now, are you a believer in the Son of God? You have everlasting life. Oh, but you can't, because some people say that only one person can do that, because he is singular. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. He might be singular in some ways it's used, but he is not singular in other ways it's used. Just like we use the word she, it could refer to a ship. It could refer to anything. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Again, number 44, John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, echoes, everlasting life. John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Does that refer to only one person? That means the resurrection is going to have just one person in it? Come on. John 12:44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. That means only one person can believe that God sent his forth his son. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And then he says in verse 13, ask what you will, and it shall be done. I shall do it. John 10:43. And to give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth, everyone who believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Romans 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And Romans 10:11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Again, 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also, as it is contained in the scripture before, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In number 57, 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. Now, again, whosoever believeth, but it's actually the same Greek words with the zero, the little thing over it, and then the Greek word for believeth. So he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That means only one person was born of God. I can show you a whole Bible full of them. 1 John 5:5. Who is it that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And number 59, 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath or echoes the witness in himself. Who's the witness? The Holy Ghost. What does it mean to echo the witness? It means his life is living out in your life. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have saw almost 60 benefits this morning. 59. Benefits or blessings that we receive on believing that your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the Son of you. He's the Son of God. And Paul said he's the eldest brother in a vast family of brethren. And we are to be conformed to his image. He is our pattern. He is the example seed, as Brother Branham said. Then, Father, if he is the example seed, help us to die to ourself, because we cannot be filled with your Spirit. We cannot be born again until we have died to ourself. Because if we do not die, we cannot be born again. We've already been born once. But to be born again, the first life has got to die. Help us, Father, to die to self. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am living. Yet it's not I that am living, but it's actually Christ that is living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by his faith, the faith of the Son of God, his revelation when he went from Gethsemane to the cross. Jesus himself had to die to Jesus in order for him to die on the cross. He said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. And Father, help us also to take this cup, the same cup of the sufferings of Christ, and may the sufferings of Christ bring forth the riches and the glory of Christ in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it was kind of a race through the scripture this morning, but I wanted to try to get this through and just tie it into what Brother Branham was saying, that if we're full of God, full of the Holy Ghost, then we're going to be full of love, we're going to be full of peace, and we'll be full of the power of God. And I wanted to show all these other blessings that we have when we receive his Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let's just stand to our feet and we'll sing that song.